You're listening to ARM FM, and I'm delighted to have in the studio with me Wiradjuri and Gamilaroi woman, Dr. Lynette Riley. Good morning, Lynette. Thank you for taking our call this morning. You've got a connection with Armidale, don't you?
I certainly have. I went to Teachers College in Armidale, and I also worked at the university there for several years, and three of my children were born in Armidale.
It doesn't get much more of a connection than that.
That's it. It's a good connection.
And nowadays, for those that don't know, you're national co-chair or national NAIDOC co-chair this year with Stephen Sator. Is it culturally important to share the chair role with a man and a woman?
Absolutely. That's why we do it. It's really important that we practice cultural protocols, and particularly where many nations and people still would prefer to a male or a female, and that's really important when we're going and working with traditional owners in any country that we go into.
It sounds a little more enlightened than many of the European institutions and traditions we have in this country, particularly if you look at Parliament.
Well, that's it. That's it. You know, we're still fighting to get women represented in Parliament, but most Aboriginal organisations, you'll find, will have cultural protocols in place to make sure that men and women are available for everybody in the community.
Now tell me, why are the annual NAIDOC events and celebrations so important, perhaps both for First Nations people and the Australian community at large?
Well, the celebrations actually began as part of a protest, believe it or not, back in 1938. Our people had been protesting Australia Day events for many years, but not getting any traction or understanding. And in 1938, with the 150-year celebration that Australia was holding, they actually kidnapped a group of Aboriginal people from out west and blackmailed them and held their kids against them to make them perform in their Australia Day function. So other Aboriginal people and 1,000 other people marched to, you know, to say that this kind of behaviour can't go on. We need to have proper recognition of Aboriginal people in this, our country. This is our country. This is our nation, and we need to have recognition. So it started out as a day of mourning. We still have a day of mourning. And then by the 70s, we had the Department of Aboriginal Affairs formed, and then we had the first Aboriginal or Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander-led NAIDOC committee, and it was a week of celebrations. So not only to talk about all of the things that were going wrong for us, but also to raise awareness and educate the wider community to celebrate and, you know, look at the achievements of Aboriginal people in this country.
It's very much a time of a week of celebration now, but are those attitudes or feelings or, I guess, of mourning and of protest still part of the week?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I think the mourning one is more in association with Australia Day, where we have a survival day and a day of mourning. And then what we've got now is the movement of NAIDOC into July, where we have a week of celebration. So I know that in many organisations, and particularly schools that are often on holidays when NAIDOC starts, there's often more activities after. So, you know, if it could extend to the whole year, I'd be really happy.
So in a sense, for the wider and broader Australian community, we might say that it's a great opportunity to learn a little about culture and recognising that culture varies from tribal and language group to group. It's different if you're saltwater, freshwater, high country, scrub, whatever.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, so it's about getting to know about the different Aboriginal nations and their countries across Australia, where, and we've got very strict boundaries and borders as to where our country goes to. So understanding that, because I think one of the key stereotypes is that we just wander all over the country with no significant country, but we have very strict boundaries and borders, and getting to understand what our culture is and getting to appreciate what we do in relation to connection to country.
So perhaps an opportunity to learn about your local people and their cultural practices.
Yes, absolutely. You need to be finding out. And one of the things that we've done as part of the NAIDOC is have educational resources created so that based on the theme of the year, you can focus in. So if you're not really sure what it is that you need to learn or what you need to know about, you can download the educational resource from the NAIDOC website or ABC, have the resource as well, because the resource was developed in partnership with ABC and Culture is Life. So I really encourage people, if they're not sure, that's the place to start.
And I would do exactly the same thing. So you've really hinted at this earlier in your answer. NAIDOC is an annual event, but I'm sure people don't switch off at the end of the week, and the week has an impact and influence through the rest of the year on communities and people's lives.
Absolutely, yes. You know, I think I've still got some activities going next week, and then we've got school coming back, and there'll be a lot of activities in association with the school.
Now, each year there's a NAIDOC theme, isn't there? This year's theme, chosen by the National Committee, is Keep the Fire Burning, Black, Loud and Proud. Can you speak to that?
Yeah, we were all a little bit demoralised by the no vote for the referendum, and we just wanted to make sure that our young people and other people knew that we were going to continue the fight, and that's about keeping the fire burning. You know, it's for me as an educator, I realised that I've got a lot more education to do, because there's still a lot of ignorance out there in the Australian community about Aboriginal people. So we need to keep the fires burning. We need to be consistent in what we do. And Black, Loud and Proud is about celebrating who we are. We're not into the negativity. We're not into the negative stereotypes. We're into celebrating who we are and being proud of who we are and being loud about it.
In my experience, the fire is also a symbol of connection of country, isn't it? And yarning circles, sitting around the fire, decision-making, it has a big impact in community, in my experience, in the Territory.
Yeah, absolutely, because a lot of our decisions are made by getting together, having yarn, sitting around the fire. It might seem like a very informal way to do it, but you come to some really deep discussions and understandings by doing that and creating bonds with one another, and that's what it's about. And for us, it was about, you know, like when a fire goes through country, it's the regrowth that we have in country, you know, and how important fire is in the Australian community when done properly. So we have what's called cool burning. So cool burning doesn't damage the environment and allows proper regrowth and doesn't kill the animals. So it's about the regrowth that we have.
One of my students from the APY land, I took a group of media students to the ABC studios in Alice Springs, and the people there were talking to my students, and they explained how the signal goes from the mast, and they pointed to the mast and how it goes across the country, and it can be heard in communities and all around the area. And she was absolutely stunned by that, and she turned around to me and she said, radio is like bushfire, sweeps across the country.
That's it. And what is the message that you want to impart, and how are you going to do it? Apologies, I'm standing in the doorway and people are coming in and out.
It's a great metaphor, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it.
So the award ceremony is also an important part of the week, and particularly the recognition of community elders. That's always important, isn't it? And the various categories, but there's a real affection for the elders, the nomination and recognition of elders at the ceremonies.
Yeah, I think for us, the most important awards that we give is the Lifetime Achievement Award, because it recognises, you know, the efforts of people over their lifetime in working for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander communities to create change for the whole Australian society that benefits everybody. And that's probably our most important one. Aunty Dulcy Flower won that this year, an amazing woman and an amazing contributor. And then the other two key ones are the Male and Female Elder Awards. You know, we love to celebrate what our youth are doing and the growth that they're coming into, but it's always important to recognise the value of our elders. I went to the South Australian Awards on Monday, and it was very similar there. And, you know, you can't help but be amazed by the wonderful and amazing things that people are doing.
I think that, like you, I've worked in education, and I have to tell you, I was delighted to see WET, the Walpole Education and Training Trust, be recognised, because they did something which in many ways was quite trailblazing. They had a mine in the area, they were getting royalties, and they used that money to set up an educational process for their young people for generations to come, which was pretty forward-thinking at the time they did it.
Oh, you know, and we need to celebrate that, and that's actually a model for other communities to demonstrate, you know, what we can do if we're given the opportunity. And sometimes there are so many barriers raised because, you know, governments or other people just have an innate belief that we can't do anything. But when we're allowed and able to do and plan what we need and what we know we need for our communities, we create amazing models that are not just relevant for us as Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, but also can be used as models for the rest of Australia and the rest of the world.
It's important, isn't it? Because I'm sure you'd agree with me, but education changes lives.
Well, that's why I'm a teacher. I remember one of the key things that my grandparents and parents said to me was that you're not going into education just for yourself, you're going into it to help create change for all of us.
And you find yourself teaching self-confidence and a whole lot of other things as well as the actual subjects that you're dealing with, don't you?
Yes, absolutely. Resilience and confidence and knowledge in knowing the context of things makes a big difference.
So you slightly touched on this earlier, but I want to make the point here that the First Nations community is no more a monolith with its attitudes, opinions and points of view than the Australian community at large. But in what way have events and words spoken during the referendum and after it had an impact on this year's NAIDOC celebrations and events? You mentioned the theme for the event, but I'm sure it's broader than that.
Yeah, I think that, you know, to be honest, I thought there might be a no vote. I wasn't surprised, but the extent of it is what really confused me, because I thought that as Australians in this country, we'd moved on, and the idea that the rest of Australia couldn't just give us a voice and have a say in our own lives, but rather that they still want to govern who we are and what we want to do through government and other institutions is baffling to me.
And to me also. And I remember on that day getting texts from friends and past students, many of them using the words, "I'm heartbroken."
Yeah. And that's how many. If you have a look at the actual voting patterns, you will see that the majority of yes voters were actually Aboriginal people. So here we have Aboriginal people saying, you know, the time has come. We need to have a voice. We need to have a say in our own lives. You can't close the gap without us being part of the discussion, part of the decision making. And yet the rest of Australia said no.
And that's part of the empowerment that you and I and others in, who work in education or have seek to provide in our part of, as part of our education, which is why I mentioned that thing of teaching self-confidence embedded in what you do as well. Look, it's been wonderful talking to you this morning. I've been speaking with Dr. Lynette Riley, who's one of the co-chairs of NAIDOC for 2024. Been a delight having you on air, and thank you so much for giving us a little time and talking to us about NAIDOC this year and NAIDOC in general.
Absolute pleasure, and all my love to Armidale.
And thank you very much. And I think you might be pleased to know we're going to finish now with a song from Kutcher Edwards called Singing Up Country.